hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in today to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE. We want to say thank you to everyone who has participated in the fall offering here for the radio station. And we also want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. We want to recommend them to you if you need any air conditioning work here in central part of Brevard County. Bill is an expert with cooling systems. He can deal with all sorts of different types of units, from window units to traditional units to package units to micro split systems. He knows all about that stuff. And, you know, he can do the computational math. He can tell you what size system you need. Tell you what not to do, tell you what to do, and make all sorts of recommendations to you that will keep you cool in an economical as fashion as he can. And so let me tell you that phone number one more time. It's 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. So want to also encourage you to be on the lookout tomorrow night for kiddos that may be out trick-or-treating. If you're out on the road, please be extra observant and watchful for them, and let's not have any accidents that take place during that time. We will be having church tomorrow night. We'll have our adult Bible study. We'll also have the kids ministry that we have. For whatever kids show up, for a small church like ours, it's sometimes a little bit iffy on the attendance whenever Halloween falls on a church night, because some churches are able to put on bigger productions than what we can, and then you got the trick-or-treaters and stuff like that. So all of that is coming up. So be on the lookout for that. We would greatly appreciate your attentiveness. So today we are going to resume our study on the will of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, we don't need to pray for God's will to be done in heaven. It's already going to be done in heaven. Here on earth is where the battlefield is. It's where the conflict is engaged. And you and I, we deal with that struggle on a regular basis. And so we need to pray, God, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that needs to begin with us. We don't need to just be praying that it'll be taking place in a far off land, a place that we'll never be able to influence. When I pray a prayer, I want to see the results of that prayer. In all honesty, I want to pray that when I ask God to move in this community, that he's going to remove, or that he's going to move in this community. And so we're going to look at that today. Right now we are dealing with the reality that prayer, which is what we're talking about the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, that there's this connection between prayer and the will of God. Many people want to just kind of hope that the will of God becomes a part of their life. And I want you to see that how important prayer is to understanding the will of God. So I'm going to take you to the book of Colossians. We're going to be there for a few broadcasts. We're going to begin in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9, which is a tremendous passage of Scripture. And it says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So there's the passage we're going to deal with. Let's move on up a little bit to see what the reason was that Paul said all of those things about praying and asking for them to be filled with the will of God. Verse number 3, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which was laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it is also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit, as it is among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. So the reason that Paul is writing to them is he's heard of their faith, he's heard of their love, he's heard of their hope, their confidence. He has heard about the grace of God that is impacting in their life, and Epaphras has come and declared to Paul the Colossians' love in the Holy Spirit. So, Paul writes, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will. The reason that Paul said we have joined in this is because Epaphras was already doing that. He was already praying that they would know the will of God. And Paul said, when I heard that you were a part of the household of faith, you became part of my prayer list for you to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. That's not just something for the pastor. You see, the will of God does not just manifest itself in people who are in full-time vocational ministry. God has a will for every person's life that is here. You might be a Sunday school teacher. You may have the gift of encouragement. You might operate with the gifts of healing. You may be a teacher. You may be a giver. You may have the gift of faith. You might be a soul winner. I will tell you right now, there are way too few soul winners in the church, and we need a few people to rise up with the gift of the evangelist and take the gospel of Jesus Christ to this community. So Paul said, I am praying and I am asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. When you know what the will of God is, and it's God's will, not just man's will, not just your will, you will be an extremely driven individual. You will not be as easily sidetracked as you were before, because you know your purpose. You know what you are meant to do. And that will becomes a focal point. It becomes something that filters out distractions. It filters out impurities. It filters out rabbit trails, if you will. When you know what the will of God is, you are going to stay focused on that. I don't want to go and pursue other things that are not God's will. I use that insight, that direction that God gives, and I use it as a filter, if you will, to say, okay, this works, this doesn't. Anything that doesn't fit with God's will gets cast aside. My wife and I have been married for over 3 decades. Yes, I know exactly how many years I've been married. But before we were married, even though we both loved Jesus, even though we both had a call of God on our life, there was a time where we were trying to evaluate whether the call on her life was moving in the same direction as my life. She had a call for missions and I had a call for pastoring. And in all honesty, when it did not look like those two paths were going to always stay in sync with one another, we actually dissolved the relationship, and that was a very painful thing. It didn't fly with her very well at all, and I wasn't happy about it either. But during that time, we were assessing the will of God in the situation. Now, she had a word and I had a word, but we wanted God's perfect will, not just a permissive will, if you will. That's a lot of wills in there. We wanted God's perfect will, not just his permissive will. Well, when we came to Brevard County, Florida, and we'd been married for a number of years at that point in time, our family had started to grow. We were actively involved in ministry, and we were presented with the opportunity at Merit Assembly of God to be home missions pastors. That was what our title was. We were pastoring a home missions church. We had a building, we had a place to sleep at night, and we had six people besides our family. The first Sunday, we had a few hundred dollars worth of bills to pay and a very meager first offering. But we knew, because we had been in fasting and prayer mode, that God was getting ready to do something. We just didn't know what it was. And, you know, many times people think that missions is far across the sea. Mission is doing the will of God. That's what it is. And there was a minister friend of ours, and he knocked on our door one day, and my wife opened the door, and it's now our fellowship hall, and he looked around and he said, "You all live like missionaries." And that's exactly what we were doing. We were very missional about seeing Merit Assembly of God not only stay in existence, but to grow and to thrive. And we still have the desire to see that accomplished. We're not looking for it to be us four and no more. We're looking for the kingdom of God to go forth and touch people's lives. Every person that is listening to the sound of my voice, I want you to begin to pray. I'm going to pray with you that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will, even if the knowledge of that will is beyond your understanding at that point in time. Maybe you say, "God, I have no idea how you are going to accomplish this task, but I believe that you will." And so the crazy thing is, I've been on more missions trips, but our life has been on mission. And my wife has a very tender heart. She does a lot of interceding and praying for the women of the church and for the young girls that she helps to mentor and to train up so that they live godly lives. And our prayer is that they would never fall prey to the temptations that the world has to offer, but they'll always remember what it is like to have Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So he says, "I'm praying that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will." And then he begins to describe the process. "In all wisdom." You and I cannot continue to make foolish mistakes and expect that we're going to be embracing the will of God. We need to be filled with the wisdom from heaven. And heavenly wisdom operates many times paradoxically. That means opposite of the wisdom that the world has to offer. The wisdom of the world tends to be very self-centered, very self-focused, and the wisdom from heaven tends to be very God-focused. The wisdom of this world tends to be about hoarding things for yourself, and the wisdom of God is about giving of oneself. It's not about giving the least. It is about giving your best. And you know, I believe that if your church has small groups, if it has Sunday school, if it has discipleship programs of of whatever variety, whether it's men's ministry, women's ministry, youth group, children's church, whatever it is, you would be exemplifying great heavenly wisdom by availing yourself of those learning opportunities where you are going to gain wisdom. Not everything that is to be gained from wisdom is meant to be gained through just sitting and hearing a lecture or hearing a sermon or reading a book. Sometimes you are going to gain wisdom from other brothers and sisters in Christ who share their testimony and their experience with Jesus. And you're going to glean the wisdom that says, you know, I'm so thankful that God did that for them. My son spent a year out of the country. And at that point in time, he had a Firebird, a Trans Am WS6. It was a very fast car. And I made the joke because while he was out of the country, he gave me the keys so I could drive his car. And I said, man, this is great. I get to go through the midlife crisis and I don't have to go buy the sports car. And honestly, my Firebird days, I had a Firebird when I was growing up, but I was so thankful when he came back and I was able to give that vehicle back to him. Because I like sitting up a little bit higher, and having a little bit better perspective, of the road there. But is there wisdom that could be a blessing in your life that you don't have to go through the school of hard knocks for? Yes. If we develop relationships with one another, if you start listening to other people, you're going to find the will of God for your life. When, I was at my pastor's celebration of life service, my brother, who was baptized the same night that I was, said, I remember that night. And I said, well, I remember being baptized. He said, do you remember what pastor said about you? I said, no. And I would have been eight years old, I think, at the time, 8 or 9 years old. And he said, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, well, God's called me to be a pastor. And he said, it's so refreshing to hear a young person say that they know what God's will is for their life. Well, I didn't remember that at all, but I'm not going to forget it now. And the reason that I'm not going to forget it is because somebody reminded me of something that I had forgotten. So you don't just want the knowledge of his will for an event. You want the knowledge of his will in wisdom for the path, the direction, and the quality of your life. I want to do what God wants me to do, but I want to do it with wisdom. I want to do it with anointing. I want to do it with excellence. And I want to do it for the glory of God. He says, you will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And spiritual understanding. What is it that rules your thought life? Is it from a carnal nature or is it from your spirit? You see, a lot of times our reception of a truth has to do with the perception that we are receiving that with. Okay, if I'm in a bad mood, somebody could come up and tell me wonderful news, but because my perception is I'm already in a bad mood and everybody is telling me horrible things all day, then whenever they tell me something like that, you know, it's like the person that complained, well, somebody came up and gave you $1 million. Yeah, but they gave it to me in pennies. If anybody wants to, you know, bless me with a financial gift, I don't care if it's in pennies, nickels, quarters, dimes, dollars, or $100 bills. You can write a check for all I care. I don't really care about the process in you know, to find a problem with it. But I want my spiritual understanding to rule above my flesh. I don't want it to be just because I don't understand something intellectually to deprive me and hold something back. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and you were communicating what needed to be said, but the reception on the other end wasn't taking place because they didn't understand the word you were using, or they had a different mental picture of what was going on, and there was a failure to connect because there was a lack of understanding? Well, you and I, we don't just need to understand intellectually, we need to understand spiritually. And when you understand that there is a spiritual dynamic that is taking place, then that makes the will of God much more important. I remember a person that was telling a story about they were driving down the road and all of a sudden they felt in their spirit they were supposed to take a detour, and they got off and they felt led to make another right-hand turn, or anyway, they ended up in front of this house, and they were obedient because they were wanting to obey spiritually. And they pulled up, and there was a car parked right in front of them, and the person got out of the car and came back and knocked on the window. And, you know, this person really didn't understand intellectually what was going on. They just understood spiritually that the will of God required them to be obedient, and to be obedient in a timely manner. The person knocked on their window and said, "Are you the preacher?" And he said, well, yes, I am. How did you know that?" And he said, "Well, I was sitting in my car, and my world has been falling apart. And I said, 'God, I need you to do something in my life right now, because I'm ready to end my life. And so I'm going to ask you to, if you're real, to send a preacher who is going to be able to come and speak to me.'" And I'm not saying that God does that with every case or with every person who's depressed or discouraged. I'm just telling you that this particular individual responded with spiritual obedience when they didn't understand why they were going to a place they didn't know. But when they got there, there was a need that God was wanting them to meet. We have spiritual understanding. And let me just say this. If you are battling with depression, do not try and battle that alone. Do not blow it off as something trivial. Get the help that you need. But I will tell you that depression, it can have several causes. And you need to address that. You need to talk to your doctor. You need to talk to your pastor. But I want you to understand there can be physical, there can be hormonal and chemical situations. Don't trivialize it just so, "Oh, well, you know, everybody goes through this," and all of that sort of stuff. You are too precious in the sight of God to allow depression to rule and reign in your life. And there is a spiritual dynamic to it. I believe many times in the church, we want to try and deal with it from the spiritual and not deal with it from the medical side. Many people want to deal with it from the medical side. They don't want to deal with it from the spiritual side. I want you to embrace the will of God, grow in wisdom and in spiritual understanding. And he says this, that I pray that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy of the Lord. And so when you are filled with the knowledge of his will, the way that you walk is going to describe the worship that you are giving to him. The word worship, from my understanding, was a compound word meaning worth and ship. It contracted to worship. It is not about how I feel. It is about what God is worthy of. And he is worthy of all glory, of all honor, of all power, of all praise. And he is worthy of us walking in a manner that reflects his lordship. So his will for your life is never going to lead you to a walk or a lifestyle, a journey that is not going to glorify him as Lord. You and I, we should be demonstrating on a regular basis the lordship of God. So, as my wife has been dealing with some issues for a number of years, she has this tenacious faith about her. I've got a sign that I received in the mail. It was a mass mailing that came, and it talks about faith like a rhino, and that they don't have the greatest vision, but whenever they see a target, they go at it with all that they've got. And my wife has that sort of tenacious faith. And to the point that people have said, look, if she gets those sorts of results with fasting and pray, would she fast and pray for me? And she did, and they got the results. And so I just want to encourage you, walk worthy of the Lord. Not just on Sundays, not just whenever you're headed to the church, but every day. Let your coworkers and your neighbors and your family members see you walk in faith. Let them see you walking in a manner that is giving great glory and honor to God. God is worthy of your best, not just on days that we're going to come together as a group of believers, but he's worthy of your best every single day. May God fill you with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and may you walk worthy of the Lord. And that's what my prayer for you is today. Know this, I will be praying that you will walk worthy of the lordship of Jesus Christ, and that you would know his will. Father, today, you lead, we'll follow, and we'll give you all the glory. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Jesus' name, let angels prostrate for